Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, it's good to be in church. Amen? No place else I'd rather be. Not even heaven, really, because if Jesus has come back, you know, I just think, you know, Lord, give us one more day just so we can spread your word one more time. Amen. You know, you think about all the lost people and you don't want to leave them behind, right? And so praise the Lord. It's good to be in church, ready to speak the word. I got a good word for you guys today. Amen. Anybody got any giants in your life? You know, and giants, you know, in the Old Testament, we all know the story. I mean, if you know anybody that's ever been to church or seen movies or things you hear or heard reference to, how many of the story of David and who?
Goliath.
And so we may not have like literal giants, although I've seen some pretty big people, you know. I saw these shoes the other day. They were size 19. Who wears those? Right? Somebody does. They made them for somebody. They probably play basketball, I bet, you know? But the thing is that giants, it may not be a literal person that's calling you out and taunting you, or maybe it is. Maybe you're here today and you've got a bully in your life. But giants now, they look a little bit different, but they still are the same. There's someone or something that's trying to dominate you. And, you know, it can be lack. How many know lack can be a giant in your life? You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be able to give on every good occasion. And if you can't do that, you're in lack. You're in lack. If you can't give every time you want to give, it doesn't mean huge amounts. It means whatever's on your heart to give. You can't do it, that's lack. So I've got, you know, sometimes we have this mentality, well, you know, I do well, I got a house, I got, you know, food for my kids, but you know what? God wants to get you outside of your walls into other people's walls. Amen. God wants you meeting other people's needs because we're the hands and feet of God. And I tell you, it's great to receive, that's awesome, but it is so much better to give. There is nothing like paying somebody's car payment when they need it. There is nothing like being able to pay somebody's rent when they need it. How awesome was it a few weeks ago where as a church, we caught somebody's mortgage up? Amen? Just moved by the Spirit of God. It was awesome. It was incredible. And you know what? So we don't want that giant of lack to be in our life. You know, we're not talking about, and I'm not judging, but sometimes when we start talking about, hey, let's press in for our finances, you get this picture and this idea of a message or a preacher that maybe has done it out of balance. And so you want to disconnect from it completely. Listen, just because somebody, and that's between them and Jesus, I think God's big enough to give everybody a jet, really. Amen? I mean, I got no problem with people having jets. I'm like, get it. If you got the faith for it, get it and go where God has for you to go. Amen. I'm not going to judge somebody's return. You know, the Bible, you know, I remember when Ray Jean was here one time, he said, don't judge somebody's harvest until you've seen their seed. Listen, before you start about what somebody's driving or flying in, you better take a minute and recognize they probably sowed a lot of seeds to get where they are. Amen? But, you know, let's make sure that we've got the right heart about it. God wants to get it in us and to us to get it through us. There's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel, and sometimes people won't hear unless you're helping them. Amen? When you start paying somebody's grocery bill, they're going to listen to what you have to say. Amen? And so, you know, I don't want to go all in that. That's all free right there. Not even in my notes. So we're talking about giants, the giant of lack, the giant of depression, the giant of fear, the giant of stress, the giant of procrastination, this giant of sin or addiction, the giant of strife, the giant of insecurity, the giant of discouragement, the giant of pride. Somebody say hello.
Hello.
Hello. The giant of sickness. These are things that are trying to dominate our lives, and that's exactly what Goliath, that's what that was all about. And so we're going to talk about that today. And so don't check out and say, oh, I know this story. You don't know this story like the way that we all need to know this story. Amen. There's more to it than just David beat Goliath. There's more to it. There are so many life lessons that we can learn through this experience. And you know, there's two ways to learn. You can either learn from your own experiences, and then comes all the pain and all the consequences for it. Or, somebody say or with me.
Or
we can learn from someone else's experience, amen, and bypass a lot of that pain and feelings of being uncomfortable. I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes, right? You know, I remember I'm the youngest of seven kids. They save the best for last. I always tell my other brothers and sisters, Mom and Dad finally got it right. It's me. But you know, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be shocking. Some of you already know this about me. I have never been spanked in my life. Never. Now, not because my parents weren't spankers. They were spankers. But I was just smarter than all my brothers and sisters. Because when they would do something and get in trouble for it, I would make like a mental note. Don't do that. Or at least, don't get caught doing that. You know? And so my other brothers and sisters are always like, you are so spoiled. You are the most spoiled. And I'm like, listen, don't be a hater because I'm smarter. Right? But what happened? I learned from their experiences. So you can learn from other people's experiences, and it can really help you and save you from some spankings in life. How many ever got a spanking in life, right? I mean, you know, life is a contact sport, I always say, and you're going to take some hits. But if you see somebody getting hit, like, let's not go that way, right? Let's learn from that. So we can learn a lot from David. We can learn a lot from him. So turn over your Bibles to 1 Samuel. It's in the Old Testament. It's right before, guess what? Geniuses. We are on fire today. Here we go. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start in verse number 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. He says, why do you come out and line up for battle? He says, am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? He says, choose a man and have him come down to me. Verse number 9, now listen to this. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become subjects. Well, you'll become our subjects and serve us. And so this was a very significant battle. And every battle that you fight with every giant in your life is significant. Because the end result, what that fear is trying to do in your life, it's trying to dominate you. Where you will be ruled by it. You will be subject to it. Your life will revolve around what you're afraid of and what you're not afraid of. That fear will begin to make decisions for you. And what makes decisions for you rules you. Right? And so we may not have a big giant guy in size 19 shoes yelling at us, come out and fight. But we've got that whisper of fear that says you can't do it. That whisper of fear that says, don't go out there. Something's going to happen. There are people that are in such fear in their life that it is holding them literally captive in their homes because they can't get out. They can't get out. The door's not locked, but they're captive. What happened? Fear dominated them. Lack can dominate you. Strife can dominate your marriage, can dominate your home life. It can dominate it because it's ruling over you. And so when we look at this lesson and we say, oh, that's great. David beat Goliath. That's awesome. No, we need to learn from him, his experience, so we don't let giants dominate us. Because whatever dominates you, you are subject to. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be subject to anyone or anything but Jesus. Amen? You know, I always tell people, never let money make decisions for you. I tell young people that all the time because, you know, I remember years ago and it was on our hearts and we, on my heart, and I went to Pastor Mark and I said, listen, I want to take the youth group on a mission trip. He said, where do you want to go? Peru. He was like, what? He goes, how are you going to raise the money for that? I said, I have no idea. I have no idea, but we're going to go. And then when I presented it to the kids, immediately they were like, because a lot of them, they don't have like, how many got a big stack of money just sitting at home just for whatever? Anybody? You know, well, they didn't have that either. This is our whatever stack of money. Whatever you want, here's a big stack of money. No, I mean, we don't have that. Maybe somebody does, but most of us don't. And so I began to teach them, don't let money make decisions for you. If God tells you to do it, God will supply the money to do it. But if you let money make the decision for you, then what happens? Money rules you. Money rules you. But if God tells you to go, and you put your faith out there, and you speak to that whisper that says, you're never going to get that much money. You don't have that money. Your parents aren't going to give you that money. Nobody's going to give you that money. Then that is what rules you if you say, well, I don't have the money. I can't go. But you know what? We ended up taking, we took, I think it was 25 or 26 kids, and Nettie went with us. She was like, I'm going to go on that mission trip. I was like, all right. And she went with us. And we all went to Peru, and we did a camp for kids who lived there. It was an amazing experience. It was awesome. It was incredible. And it's beginning to stir in my heart again to take the youth on a trip, you know? I mean, I don't know if we'll probably be stateside because of how things are going, but, man, it's stirring in my heart again. But I have been teaching kids my whole time in youth ministry. I would just drill in kids, never let money make decisions for you. Never let money make decisions for you. If God said it, God will provide for it. But you got to learn how to deal with that giant. You got to learn how to deal with it. Because we can't let money rule us. We can't let fear rule us. We can't let strife. We can't let procrastination. Listen, procrastination is so dominant in some people's lives, you're just a gonna do. You are a gonna do. God has told you things to do. He has put things in your heart to do. He has put messages in your heart to preach, and you're always gonna get ready for it. But you know what? Days keep passing, and you haven't done it. You know why? Because that giant of procrastination just keeps saying, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. That's a giant you need to slay in your life. You need to take that thing down. And so when we think about this, we got to recognize the importance and how powerful it is, this battle that David fought. We've got to recognize, you know what? I need to fight that battle too. Because there's some things that are dominating me. They're impacting my life in a way, in a bigger way than they should. I want to be dominated. I want to be subject to the Word of God and nothing else. How about you? Well, we got to take care of some things. And so that whatever that is, you know, especially like things like, you know, people, and I'm going to step on some toes. Ready? Get your foot, pull your foot back if you're not ready for it. Pull it back. You're like, I'm not ready for that. You know, I got real strong feelings on alcohol. I got real strong feelings on that. And they're personal. They're my personal things. You know, the Bible is very clear when it comes to alcohol. It says, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. So listen, if you're going out and you're getting drunk, then you're missing it. And the Bible is very clear on that. Very clear. But for me, for what I teach is, hey, let's not even go there. That's for my own personal life. You do what God tells you to do. Because I've just seen it destroy too many lives. I've seen too many people slave to it. Too many people slave to it. They lose their kids. They lose their marriage. They lose their job. They lose everything because they are slave to a bottle. And I tell you what, for me, for my house, I don't want any part of that. And that's why, now, again, the word of God is clear. If you're here today and you're like, well, I drink a glass of wine, is that okay? Listen, the Bible says that it's okay, really. And don't write me a letter. Don't write me a letter. You know, I'm not going to read it. I only read the good ones. But, you know, the Bible says, do not be drunken with wine where it is in excess. All right? So, you know, there's a lot of people in a lot of cultures that drink wine with a meal and everything. Listen, I'm not talking to you. That's between you and the Lord. If you don't feel conviction in that, that's between you and Jesus. That's not my job to come on and be like, put that down. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word. Amen. Amen? But I'm just saying, for me and my house, and this is my house, so if you work here, you don't drink at all. And if you do, you don't work here. It's very simple. Very simple. And anybody that gets hired here, they know that. And even all of our pastors, it's just an area we don't want to go into. Why? Because we've seen the destruction of it. Over and over and over again. What happened? You say, well, it's not going to hurt. Listen, if you got a history of it in your family, man, put your guards up. Put your guards up. It's not worth your life to be slave to it. Because every one of those people, they'll sit in my office and they will cry their little eyes out and they will say, I don't want to do this. I love my wife. I love my family. But I can't stop. Happens with alcohol. It happens with drugs. It happens with pornography every single day. There's no room for margin in those things in my mind. A little pornography is too much pornography. Amen? So it's just a little bit. You know, when I was in youth group, I did this illustration one time, and I made brownies, and I put a little bit of dog poop in it. For real. I stood in front of the group, and I was making brownies, and I was like, oh, these brownies are going to be so good. And we put all the ingredients in there, and then I put just a little. I have four dogs. I have a great supply of dog poop. I had just a little tiny, tiny bit of dog poop. It's a tiny bit. And I put it in there. Nobody wanted the brownies. But yet, it's so clear why we don't want the brownies, right? Because it's like, that has dog poop in it. But when it comes to life, we're just like, oh, just a little bit's okay. Just a little bit's okay. No, a little bit of pornography is not okay. All right? And listen, just because you don't go to some shady place on Military to watch it doesn't mean it's not pornography. All right? There's pornography on a lot of channels. None of this is in my notes. None of it. But you know, let's just get our eyes open, all right? Because you know what? It might just be a little bit right now, but you know what? Those things, they grow into Goliaths in your life. It might be one drink right now, but if you don't have clear boundaries on your life, it will grow into a Goliath. And then you're going to be too weak to fight him because you're already slave to him. So let's just not go there. There's some things where you just got to say, man, I don't go there. I have people, you know, like sometimes with movies and things I'm like that, like people know now, they don't even invite me anymore. And that's okay, it doesn't hurt my feelings because they've heard too many times, I don't go there. You know, I don't get invited to rated R movies because I don't go there. I don't get invited to have drinks. I don't go there. But you know what? In my early walk with Jesus, it was a battle. Because I used to go there. So I had to retrain people in my life. And they all didn't make it, but I did. Hallelujah. And that's what's important. Amen. You might lose some friends when you fight your Goliath, but I'll tell you, when you study the life of David, and that's what we're going to look at, when you fight Goliath, it opens the door for your destiny. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He became the king. Why? Because he did what he needed to do. Yeah. Amen? And so let's keep going here. You guys got me all over the place. All right. So we're talking about, dominance. That's such a big thing, though. I mean, I could preach for a week on that. You just don't let anything have power over you. Don't let anything have power over you but the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? The Word of God, the power of God. I want Him to have power over me, nothing else. All right, so when we look here, we see David, and we see Goliath. We don't even see David yet. And Goliath is, he's taunting out, and he's saying, listen, if I overcome you, then you all become my subjects. He's talking about the whole nation of Israel, not just the group that's there. Everybody will now become subject to the Philistines. This is a big battle. This is a big fight. And a lot is riding on it. And so when we look here, and what we want to learn from here is, number one, this battle for those giants in your life and in my life is for dominance. We need to make a decision who's going to dominate us, what's going to dominate us. Number two, ignoring a problem won't make it go away. That's what the other guys were doing. For 40 days, they were just hanging out in their tent hoping Goliath would go away. But guess what? He never went away. You can't ignore things. When we ignore things, they tend to get bigger. They tend to get bigger. They get bigger and we get weaker. Because we're ignoring. There's no strength in ignoring something. There's no strength in pretending that something's not there. There's no strength in that. You don't get strength from that. You get weakened from that. You get weakened from it. The myth is, if I ignore it, it'll go away. And somehow everything will get magically better. Unfortunately, people make that mistake in marriage all the time. Let me just ignore it. This problem will go away and my life will get magically better. You're going to wake up one day and there's going to be fairies over your head. And they're going to be just singing songs and the sun. It's like a movie. People think life is a movie. Life is not a movie. There's no retake, right? I think, didn't you say that the other day? Or somebody said it the other day. There's no cut. Let's do that scene again. That doesn't happen. And so we've got to recognize that ignoring stuff doesn't make it go away. And a lot of faith people, you think ignoring something is being in faith about it. And that is not the case. I've seen people get diagnoses. And they never tell anybody, they never say anything, and they just ignore it and they die. But they thought they're in faith the whole time. Pretending something didn't happen doesn't mean it didn't happen. It still happened, right? So let's not ignore things. Goliath came out every single day to taunt and harass the armies of Israel. But they kept ignoring it. They refused to do anything about it. We've got to be willing to face it and deal with it. You know, life has not been fair to anybody, but it has been more unfair to some. And there are people in this room, statistically, it is a fact. There are people in this room, your childhood was not good. And there are issues and things that you need to deal with to move on. Ignoring it and pretending it didn't happen is not going to help. And you say, well, what do I need? You need to get with Jesus. You know, I'm very pro Christian counseling. I believe a Christian counselor can help you untangle a lot of stuff that's happened in your life. And we support people in our church. We provide professional Christian counseling for members of our church to help them get through things. Because I believe in it that much. Sometimes life can just be a big ball of mess and we just set it aside and we just keep trying to ignore it. But when stress and things happen in your life, guess what's going to pop up? That big ball of mess. There's stuff we got to deal with that's happened to us. And if you don't, it's going to affect you, your marriage, your children, and your grandchildren. Because how you raise your kids, that's how they're going to raise their grandkids. And so there's just stuff we got to deal with. And so we can't ignore it. You got to be willing to face it. Face it and deal with it. Saul and the armies of Israel were hoping that Philistines would give up and go home. Guess what? They didn't. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 17, let's read that. It says, "Now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah and roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp.'" Verse number 18. "Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them." Verse number 19. "They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah and fighting against the Philistines." How many know they weren't fighting? They were hiding in their tents. He said, verse number 20, "Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed." You know, the next point I want to make, number one, the point I made there is that this is a battle of dominance. Number two, you can't ignore it and pretend it and it just go away. And this third one is so key. Obedience to the Father will position you for victory.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
Amen. Did you get that? Obedience to the Father will position you for victory. David was a shepherd. He's out watching over sheep. That's what he did. He wasn't old enough to be in the battle. But his father told him, "Take this, take this, take this, take this. Go give it to your brothers who are fighting." Now, how many have a little brother? Anybody have a little brother, little sister? What do they want to do? Everything that you did, right? That's how I was. My poor brother Michael, I tormented him. You know, everywhere can I go? Who wants to take their little sister anywhere? Right? Nobody usually, until you get older, and then they like you, but not for a while. But you know, the thing is, you know that David probably wanted to be with his brothers. And now here he is, he's the gravy train. All he's doing is taking the meal up there. He can't go fight, he can't do anything. His dad's making him run an errand. He's a little errand boy. And you know his brothers, because big brothers are sometimes mean, they probably had something to say about it. They had something to say, but here, obedience to the Father will set you up. Yeah. If you can hear anything I say today, hear that. Sometimes we don't want to do the small things, and all we want to do are the big things. You know, a lot of times when people say, "Man, I feel called to ministry. I feel called to be in the fivefold ministry." Praise the Lord. That's awesome. But listen, nobody starts behind a pulpit. You can't tell me one pastor that started behind a pulpit. You know where you usually start? Wherever there's a need somewhere else. I can't tell you how many people have said, "Man, I feel called to preach. There's an anointing on me. You know, I want to do this. I want to do this." And man, that's great. That's awesome. You know, come in, start serving. What? Come in, you know, start serving wherever we need you. I don't do that. If you don't do that, you don't do anything here. You don't do anything. That's how it is. And then in that you're doing, you need to do it well and do it with excellence. You need to recognize this may not be the big deal that I want to do when I feel what I'm called to do and I'm not on a stage here and I'm not preaching to thousands here, but this is what the Father has for me to do. Yes. And I'm going to do it well and I'm going to do it right. Yes. And when you do it well and you do it right, we see through the life of David that it will set you up for what God has for you. You know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, King David," they forget that he watched sheep. For years, he took care of sheep. Nobody wants to do that part. We all just want to be the king. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says when you are faithful over the little things, then God will reward you. But we want the big time, and we don't want to do the time. But you got to do the time, just like David did. And so when we look at this, we look at the story, we see that David did what his father asked him to do. Had David ignored his father, what would have happened? Israel would have been subject to the Philistines. The mundane things don't seem to make sense sometimes. They don't seem to make sense. Lord, why would you have me do this? Because you need to be faithful. And we need to ask ourselves right now, right where you're at, what do you know you're supposed to be doing that you're not? What do you know you're supposed to be doing that you're not? You're in disobedience to the Father. Just get it together. Amen? It may appear to be completely unrelated to your giant. But it could be the one thing that positions you for victory. Did you get that? It might appear to be so unrelated. The Lord puts on your heart, give this person $5. Lord, this doesn't have anything to do. I need $500. What does $5 have to do with $500? Or whatever. We talk ourselves out of the supernatural power of God all the time. But if God says do it, do it. Because you never know. It might be what's positioning you for the giant in your life. Amen? Sometimes when we're that quiet time we need to spend with the Lord, when we're praying and we're reading and we don't feel like doing it, we don't want to do it, and it's like, I don't want to do this. But that time is what's positioning you for the battle for your giant. You know, I'm not a huge football fan, but I do like the news. And so I follow the news. And one of the things that really, it just inspired me so much about, now if you're not a Tom Brady fan, just hold on, all right? Just hold on. Because I'm not necessarily, I like great stories. And this is a great story, but it involves Tom Brady. And so in the Super Bowl, all right, let's all just relax, all right? Take a deep breath. All right, all you Dolphin fans, one more. But in the Super Bowl, I was reading afterwards, after their, no matter what, it was an incredible victory. After their incredible victory, I was reading about Tom Brady, because I love a great story. And they said that Tom Brady, during the halftime, when they were behind so many points and no team had ever come back and all this stuff, and they said that Tom Brady went back and told his teammates, he said this, and I tell you what, ever since I heard this, I just grabbed hold of it. He told his teammates, he said, trust the process and do your job. Trust the process and do your job. And he said, I don't know anything about football. He's like, we're going to do this. We're going to do this play, whatever. And he said, trust the process. And you know what they did? They came out. They had a plan. They did their job. They trusted the process. Because his teammates were saying that they wouldn't come back from it. Everybody was saying, nobody's ever done this before. But here's an interesting fact. Do you know before David killed Goliath, no one had killed a giant before? No one. But here's a really interesting, cool thing. Do you know that after he did, that David rose up a whole army of giant killers? See, once you see it can be done, you get on board. But somebody's got to be the first one. And so when I heard Tom Brady says that, I was like, man, that is so good. That'd preach. Because we need to trust the word, trust the process of God, and do our job. Amen? What's my job? My job is to spend time with God. My job is to grow in the Word. My job is to speak the Word. My job is to believe the Word. It's God's job to move the ball.
Amen.
We got to trust the process and do our job. And so when sometimes we're like, and I'm sure there are people on that team that were like, seriously, but they did it. And so when you're setting up chairs, trust the process. When you're teaching children's ministry, trust the process. When you're putting your tithe in the offering, trust the process. Amen? When you're spending time on your knees at home when nobody can see you, nobody knows what you're doing, but you're putting the time in, trust the process. God will move the ball. You got to trust the process. But so often we're like, what does that have to do with what I want to do? What does that have to do with this? What does that have to do with this? Trust the process. Amen? David could have said, I'm not the delivery boy. Get one of the servants to take it. Obedience to the Father will set you up for victory. Amen?
Amen.
In the big things, but it starts in those little things. Be obedient to the things of God. And the next thing, we're gonna stop here. A public victory. No, I want to go back. Because I only got so much time. Let's go here. 1 Samuel 17:28. Next thing we got to do, we got to be obedient to the Father. Amen? Let's be obedient. You might be here today and you might have such a giant of lack and insufficiency in your life, and God is prompting you to do it his way, and you're like, how is giving going to help me? I don't need to give. You need to trust the process. Amen? Trust the process. How is being an usher going to help me with my walk with God? Trust the process. When you serve, when you pour in, God pours into you. And the last thing we'll cover today, we'll do the rest next week. You got to ignore the opinion of doubters. You got to ignore those. 1 Samuel 17:28 says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, listen to this, he burned with anger. Isn't that typical older brother? He burned with anger at him. He burned with anger at him. And he asked me, he says, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know, listen to this, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. That's pretty rough, isn't it? And I mean, think about it. He's like, you came down here to see some battle. And then he's like, and who's doing what you're supposed to be doing? Listen, don't let anybody tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Let God tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? When somebody's saying, what are you doing spending your free time at the church? You should be. I got a saying. I say this. When people try to tell me what to do, Selena heard this a couple times on her trip. You're not the boss of me. I didn't say it to her. I said it not to her, just joking around, you know. It's like, you're not the boss of me. When people try to say, oh, you need to be doing this. Now, I'm not talking about your boss. Your boss is the boss of you. Amen? I'm not talking about your parents. They are the boss of you. Amen? But when people try to put you in a box, you know, I remember when I went and I told, and God bless him, I love my dad. My dad is awesome and amazing. But he didn't have the same vision I had for my life. And my dad retired from the post office. He has a great retirement. And he wanted that for me. And so, and I had a really, really good job. And I made a lot of money. And I had a really great future ahead of me. And I went and told my dad, Dad, I'm quitting my job. And I'm moving to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. His head spun around. He was like, what? He's like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. You should stay here and save money and go to Bible school here, because I went to Palm Beach Atlantic for a little bit. He goes, you need to finish up at Palm Beach Atlantic. You need to do this, this, and this. That's what you need to do, because that's the smart thing to do, and that's what you need to do. And so I had to respectfully, I didn't tell him, you're not the boss of me, because I'm still alive, so that's obvious, you know. And so I had to tell him, which was really one of the hardest things, because, I mean, I just respect my father so much. And he's just such a great dad. He's still a great dad. I mean, what he says, you know, I really have to be careful, because sometimes I'll let his word dominate God's word. And so I had to tell him, Dad, this is a call of God on my life. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm gonna do it. And thankfully, my dad's a good man. And he said, if that's what you want to do, then, you know, I'll support you. And he was a tremendous blessing to me. My whole time in Bible college in Oklahoma, he paid my car payment for me. Every month, my dad paid my car payment, because he didn't want me to not have a car. And so he supported me. But the thing is that had I listened to him, I would never have left. Even though people mean well. People mean well. And sometimes, the Bible says there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so listen, if everybody in your life is telling you something, you need to listen to that. But when you hear from God, and it's confirmed through your pastor or, you know, spiritual leaders in your life, you can't be moved by what everybody else says. Because it's never going to make sense to move to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It will never make sense. It's hot, it's cold, all in the same day. There's very little jobs there, and there's nothing going on. But if that's where you're supposed to be, everything's going on there. Don't be moved by doubters. Because in 1 Samuel 17:33, Saul replied, this is what Saul said to David. When David said he wanted to fight, he says, you're not able. Listen, there's going to be people that tell you you're not able to do what God's called you to do. He says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. There's always going to be somebody that says, you can't start your own business. There's too many businesses. You can't do that. You don't have this. You can't do that. You don't have this. There's always going to be those people. But if God said it, that's what matters.
Amen.
Who dominates you? Who dominates you, God or everything else? That's the bottom line. If a Goliath of fear, there's people in this room right now, and God has spoken to you to step out and start a business, but fear, how's this going to work? 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 We want to use wisdom, but man, that first step, you got to take it. Amen? You got to take it. If some of you, God's been speaking to you to transfer jobs, to leave one job because you have another job. Do you see that? You leave one job because you have another job, right? God's moving you, but it's that security and that safety there. You're like, oh, no, what if this, what if this? But if it's in you, and here's the thing, you say, how do I know if it's God? The things of God don't go away. Just because a thought pops in your head doesn't mean it's God. These big decisions of life, you need to hear it from God, pray about it, spend time with it, get wisdom about it, get direction about it. God is never in a hurry. Trust the process. Amen? But you'll see that the things of God, they don't go away. It just keeps coming back. And it comes from here, not here. It comes from here. This is your spirit, man. That's where you're led by, your spirit, man. And so I encourage all of us, these next few weeks, we're going to talk about taking down these giants. Let's learn from David. Amen? Let's learn from him. Because, and really this is inspired by a devotional, and I encourage everybody to read it. Man, turn your smartphone into something that doesn't just distract you, but build you.
Amen?
Amen? That's been my commitment. I said, this phone is going to build me, not just distract me. I've read some of the best books on my phone. And I'm doing some of the best devotionals on my phone. There is more to your phone than Facebook. Amen? Every time I look at my phone now, I'm like, you build me. You do not distract me. You're building me. Because I had let Facebook distract me. And so now I'm constantly deleting off my phone. I delete it, and then somebody's like, oh, I put pictures of the baby on there. Oh, I put it back on. Oh, I got to delete it, you know, because it distracts. That's just me. That's me. You do you, and you let me do me, all right? But there's a devotional. It's called Goliath Must Fall. It's a good one. It's a good one. And this message has been inspired by that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, that Lord, that you would help each one of us. Help each one of us speak to our giant. We speak the word. That, Lord, that you would just reveal to us and show us if anything or anyone else has dominance over us. Because, Lord, we only want to be led by you. Not circumstances, not flesh, and not people. Lord, I want to be led by you and you alone. And so I don't want anything else to dominate me. And so, Father, I just thank you that you help each one of us to see clearly the giants that are lurking about in our lives, and to help us these next couple of weeks learn how to bring them down. Oh, I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's all say amen. 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 All right, let's receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Get ready to give.